One time, Jesus was asked by a religious leader about the greatest. He was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And boy, the pressure was on. This is a pass-fail test for Jesus. Hundreds of thousands of wrong answers he could give. Only one would be right. Skeptics were salivating for the chance to catch Jesus in this slip-up. Followers were hanging on every word. Jesus responds by quoting one of the best known Hebrew texts, the Shema, which we find in Deuteronomy 6. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Even the critics commended Jesus for his wise response. You know, parents are always asking, what's the best for our children? And that's why our leaders are hosting Baby Day. And that's why you are investing this time to prepare for it. I see our times not unlike a wedding. You know, wedding ceremonies are formal times where we join together a couple that's in love, and they make commitments to each other and to God and in front of people to build the rest of their lives on God's foundation. As parents, our goal in our time together in this event is to help us establish strong foundations for our children to grow up to be the kind of people that Jesus describes when he says the most important thing is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and love your neighbor as yourself. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for our children to grow in this love that Jesus describes. We dedicate ourselves to raise them so that they will love you, Lord, with all their heart and soul and mind, and that they'll love others in the same way. Father, we dedicate ourselves to this today. Now, before going any further, let me commend you for investing your time to prepare for this day. By the way, my name is Brett Andrews. I'm one of the ministers here on staff. And honored that you have chosen to walk through this special time with us. Raising a child is costly. According to the United States Department of Agriculture, the cost of raising a child in the United States to age 17 is nearly $235,000. And that's not counting college expenses, which can be another $100,000 or $200,000 these days. One person observed, with the cost of raising a child, you can either have a child or buy a brand new Ferrari 458. Well, I think that you all have chosen well. Most parents are keenly aware of the financial responsibility for raising a child, and that's important. But even more important is being aware of our spiritual responsibility. See, financial responsibilities will end in time, but our spiritual responsibilities will have lasting impact even through eternity. So again, I commend you for taking your time to take this spiritual responsibility seriously. Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Parents, God has entrusted your child, your beautiful child, his eternal soul, to your care. Her grades matter. College matters. Career choices matter. Whether your child gets married or not, or who your child marries, all of that matters. But remember, nothing matters more than eternal things. All of those other things are temporary. But love for God with all heart, soul, and mind, living a life for God, That's eternal. So the purpose of Baby Day is to help us consciously dedicate ourselves to raising our children under God's blessing, seeking God's way, and to help them follow God's purposes. In our time together, would you prepare to surrender yourselves to God? Would you prepare to say, God, we surrender our family to you, grant us your wisdom, take our child in your hands, lead our child in your way. To this, we dedicate ourselves. Now, no single Bible passage gives us better guidelines for raising children than Deuteronomy 6, the very passage that Jesus quotes when he's asked the question, what's the greatest commandment? Now, let's read that entire chapter, that entire passage together. Listen, Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4 tells us, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be on your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Parents, we want to dedicate ourselves to raise our children like Jesus says. So we're going to follow Deuteronomy 6's wisdom. And first it says, dedicate your children to raising, to be God-loving children by your example. See, God talks directly to parents when he says, these are the words that I'm giving you today. They are to be on your heart. You are to repeat them to your children. You are to talk about them at home and along the road and wherever you go. You know, Jesus one time said, a servant is never greater than his teacher. And when he is fully trained, he will be like his teacher. Parents, godly kids come from godly parents. May my words, God says, be in your heart first. May your children hear them from your lips daily. May they see them in your life around the house as you're walking through the day, whether you're getting up in the morning or going to bed at night. One elderly statesman from a Christian church devoted himself to a 50-year study of Christian and non-Christian families. He said that in the American culture today, most young people follow Jesus either because they come from non-Christian homes where they were led to Christ in their teenage years through a dynamic youth ministry, or they came from homes where they grew up in love with Jesus because mom and dad were so in love with Jesus that that love permeated their homes and their lives. It passed through their pores. Very few believers, he said, came from homes where there was a kind of indifference, a wishy-washiness, an apathetic commitment to Jesus. He said it's sobering, it's thought-provoking to suggest that in American culture today, the chances are better for a child growing up in a non-Christian home to become a follower of Jesus than for a child growing up in a home that is lukewarm in their devotion to the Lord. Love for God must permeate the parent's soul. See, parents, some things are better caught than taught. I love God today because what I saw in my parents and my grandparents, not just what I was taught, not just the truths that I learned, although that was the core. I would have left the faith had it not been for that. But because I saw a difference in my family house than I saw other places. And I knew as a kid, even in my teenage years, I want my family to be a Christian family. Dedicate yourself First of all, you have to walk closely with God by example. Next, dedicate yourself to raise your child in the church. The Bible is very clear that we shouldn't neglect the gathering of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing. You have a decision to make today. Will the church be your family, or will it be your Walmart? Is the church your family, or just a place where you are a spiritual consumer to get what you want? I want to plead to you out of my soul today, commit yourself to make the church your family. Again, I love God today because my church was my second family. Those people were not just acquaintances. They were family. To this day, I'll talk with those people and they'll say, yeah, we were a family, that church. My siblings will tell you, we weren't raised by our parents alone. We were raised by a church family. We lived in a church that had a bunch of parents who watched us. I lived in a church where I had a lot of other adults, other than my parents and grandparents, who helped me see what it meant to love Jesus. But those relationships developed by my parents were not just because my parents were committed to God. Those relationships developed because my parents committed themselves to the church and the church family. See, a church family can help you overcome a multitude of parenting inadequacies. Parents, you're good. I'm sure you're great. But you're not so good that you don't need help. As a father of four, I can tell you I'm so thankful for the relationships that my kids have with mature Christian adults. They teach my kids what I can't teach. They teach my kids when I'm not around to teach. They look out for their godly interests. And sometimes my kids will listen to what God says through them more than they'll listen to what God says through me. Dedicate yourself to raise your child in the church. Dedicate yourself also that your home would be the place where God is always taught and experienced. Again, Deuteronomy says, teach these things, repeat these things to your children. Talk about them when you sit in the home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand. Let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. Whenever I read that, I can't help but think about growing up and how there were scriptures all around the house. My grandmother was especially really good at this. We had scripture. In fact, when we sold the house recently, one of the difficult decisions we had to make were, okay, where are the scriptures going to go? Who gets which scriptures to take home with them? You know, parenting is not a responsibility that can be delegated. Teachers may instruct your children for a few hours a day, but they're not your primary teacher. The church may teach your children about Jesus in the Bible on Sunday or some other times, but you are their primary Bible teacher. Notice again what it says in Deuteronomy. Teach them all the time, throughout the day, wherever you go, sitting or walking, lying down or getting up. Whatever you are thinking, you know, on your heads, it says. However you're working, in your hands, it says. Post these scriptures everywhere. Then when you sit down for a meal, you're teaching about Jesus being the giver of all good things when you pray. When your child does well in school, you teach her to thank God. God gave you a good mind. When your son is hurt, you remind him of Jesus' teaching to forgive. When they see the beauty of a flower or a sunset, you teach by stopping to thank God for being the creator and giving you such a creation. When your child is afraid, maybe you teach them the story of Jesus on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, and the storm comes up and they are afraid and Jesus calms the storm. And you just remind them when we're in the boat with Jesus, we don't have to be afraid. Cast all your anxieties on God because he cares for you. And when they dream about their future, you turn their eyes to Jesus. You remind them, hey, God has made you for a great purpose. God is able to do immeasurably more through you than you can even imagine. So that's why it's so important for the Lord to be our shepherd. See, he leads us down right paths for his name's sake. And parents, ultimately dedicate yourself to pray for your children. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard my mom or grandmother, father, or grandfather say that they're praying for me and how strengthening that has been. Many times I've worked on a sermon in trepidation and frustration, and I've thought, I'm so glad my parents are praying for me. Many times I've faced difficult moments, discouraging moments, threats, challenges. And at that moment, I've thought, I'm so thankful that I have praying parents. A minister friend just lost his mom. And I asked him, how are you doing? I said, there's no loss quite loss like the loss of parents or close grandparents, is there? He said, yeah. He said, in fact, it's like a friend said to me, you know, Joe, no one prays for you like your mom. Moms, dads, nobody's going to pray for your kids like you do. My mom would tell you that she made a lot of mistakes as a mom, but one of the things that she always did right was she always prayed for her children every day. My mom would tell you that she thinks her kids have done much more in their lives and helped more people than she ever will. And then she would tell you that's an answer to prayer. God wants to do more through your children's lives than you can imagine. And I know you can imagine great things for your child. And he will do great things if you pray. The prayer of righteous parents is powerful and effective. Well, a couple of actions to take away right now. If you're like I am, you have hopes and dreams for your children, and you've probably never written them down to make them concrete. So first, write down your hopes, your dreams for your child. What is your vision for your child's character, for your child's future, for your child's impact? Maybe a good place would be to begin with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Our dream is for my child to love and to be joyful and to be peaceful and to be patient and have kindness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Take a few moments to think about what God might do with your child's life. You know, Lord, I pray that you will make my son a great husband, my wife, my daughter a great wife, my child a rocket scientist, I don't know, a dentist, a minister. It's easy to be reactive as parents, isn't it? We respond to trouble. I want to encourage you to parent proactively. Write down your hopes and dreams and desires for your child specifically, and then from time to time, review them. See how you're doing. What adjustments can be made? Second action is we want to invite you to join us for our special meal and bring that list with you to that meeting. It is so important for us for this time to be meaningful for our parents, to be an event that you remember. Again, not unlike a wedding, is an event you look back on and say, something happened there. That was significant. We really committed ourselves to each other and to God. And to make this a meaningful event, please bring your lists for your dreams and your hopes for your child. Well, I want to thank you for being part of this. Our prayer is that God will bless you and your child as you seek his blessing and his guidance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that it is living and active. We thank you for your church, that it is your family, your body. And I want to thank you for these parents and for their children. God, we want to place ourselves in your hands. You are sovereign God. Before the world was ever created, this moment was real to you. And so, Lord, may we be faithful to this moment. May we surrender ourselves fully to you. May you make us the families that you would have us to be. Oh, Lord, how we need, how you are calling Christian families to be the light of the world. And may you raise these children to be mighty ambassadors for you, filled with the love of Christ and the character of Christ and the dreams of Christ and the hope of Christ. And we look forward to the day when we will all stand together in eternity because of Christ, through whom we pray these things. Amen.